2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal, awaiting the new body. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad.
Thank you so much. Jonathan, come up, would you? Just going to pray for Jonathan, Reverend Jonathan Blake. All right, Reverend, let's just pray for Jonathan. You know, it's the reason I jumped up is I just didn't get an opportunity yesterday. I just want to pray for Jonathan. Just now that he's ordained and inducted among us. You know, God's going to call Jonathan from time to time, if not every time he stands on this platform. God's going to reveal his word to him. And that's really important that he does that. And I'm just going to pray that every time that Jonathan stands in this place, now as one of the members of staff here, one of the ministers ordained, that he will be faithful to what God places in his heart, and he'll be faithful in delivering that. Because that's really important, because God's got to lay things on his heart, as he does Ricky's heart, as he has my heart for this evening. That he has the courage to deliver and the boldness to deliver what God places on his heart. Now, however you and I receive it, that's our own deal. I kind of want to listen to it, because if God's spoken to him, I want God to speak to me through it. So I'm just going to mark this moment by just praying for Jonathan, and not just for today, but all the time he's with us. Father God, thank you for Jonathan. Thank you, Father God, for who he is in you. And Lord, I was reminded yesterday, as Linda Campbell gave him the Bible, and she said that he was to use that word to both edify his own soul and to grow in knowledge and truth of Jesus. And Lord, I know he'll do that. But Lord, I also pray that as he comes in front of your word, on the occasions that you will ask him to do so, both for this congregation here, but also for the new people in Grovewood that will hear the gospel too, I pray, Father God, that you will help him to be diligent in listening to the voice of Jesus. And in doing so, Father God, that you have given the courage and the boldness and the faith, Father God, to bring your word before your people. And Father God, I pray that he wouldn't shy away from that. Father God, sometimes when we as pastors look at your word and see some difficult things, we can try and work out how to say it a different way, but Lord, that's not what we're called to do. We're called to present your word for what it is. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help him to be faithful in that, Lord, and every time he stands on this platform and every time he speaks to your people and every time he declares your truth and your gospel in Grovewood and all the other places that you're calling to minister, I pray, Father God, that you will just help him to be a man of the truth. So, Lord, I pray that as he delivers your word today, but in the coming days and weeks and months and years, that you would protect his heart, protect his spirit, keep him close to you, and that the words that he will bring to us week after week, month after month, year after year, Lord, that we will believe them to be from you, and we'd listen with open ears and open minds and open hearts, Father God. And Lord, I pray that for Ricky and myself and others as well. But Lord, we long to hear more of your word. We long to have more of an impact of your word in our lives. So just pray, Father God, for your protection upon Jonathan as he does that. Pray that your angels would protect him time and time and time and time again as he faithfully delivers your word to your people, both in this place and in all the other places around the world that you're going to call him to do it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm sure the novelty of this reverend business will wear off at some point, but not just yet, and I'm enjoying it as well. So that's great as well. Just want to say, actually, before I come to my talk, a big thank you again for yesterday on behalf of Susan and myself and the family. It was just a great celebration. So thank you all for supporting us. And actually, over this journey that I've been on, with your prayers and your words of encouragement, it's been much appreciated. But thank you again for being with us yesterday and celebrating with us yesterday as well. As many of you know, I've had the luxury of being off for the month of August. I like team ministry. It works. It works really well. So thank you to Ricky and Scott for help covering all of those things over the last month. I had a great break. The weather was wonderful. And I've done a lot of reading over that summer period. I've got my passion back for reading. I always had a passion for reading, but when you're reading for assignments, it gets a bit dry, and it's quite difficult to hit the books. But I've been reading again with a passion, and I had a great opportunity to just spend time reading lots of different books over the summer. And one of the books and one of the writers that I was focusing on was a guy called Simon Guilbault. Now, Simon Guilbault was a missionary to Burundi in Africa. And I know that if you went to Spring Harvest this year, Simon was actually one of the speakers there. He is a fantastic speaker, preacher of God's word. Absolutely amazing. But one of the things that I was reading from him, he came up with this really interesting fact. I thought it was interesting for me. So I'm going to share it with you this morning. If you take nothing else away, at least you'll have an interesting fact to go away with, which actually still may change your life. Simon noted that the African impala, hopefully you know what an African impala is. It's kind of like an African deer with horns and things like that. The African impala can jump 10 feet high and also jump 30 foot in length in one single bound. Yet whenever you see an impala in a zoo or a wildlife park, actually the enclosure is fenced in by a fence that is probably no higher than 3 or 4 foot high. And he thought to himself, well, how does that work out? Why would that be the case? But you see, here's the thing. The African impala actually won't jump unless it can see where it's going to land. And by having just a small wall or a small fence around the enclosure, the impala is rooted to the spot virtually. it cannot break free. It cannot find the freedom that's just waiting out there, even though it could do it, because it cannot see where it's landing. It stays in captivity. And the reason that I mention it is that I believe that it's a really good illustration of something that God's been laying on my heart and has laid on my heart over a period of time about how we live our faith. How we live our faith and walk forward into the plans that God has for each and every one of us. You see, the popular wisdom of the day says that seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. If I can't see it, I don't believe in it. But when it comes to faith, God calls his people to believe and to act before we see him. Or as Paul states in that passage that we had read, we're called as God's people into this season to live by faith and not by sight. Now, the passage that Dick read to us, the Apostle Paul is writing to that church in Corinth, which is really, really struggling. Corinth itself was a really important trading hub for the Greek and Roman empires. And because of that, and where it was situated, it was a hugely cosmopolitan city. It had numerous faiths and cults being practiced within it. The city itself and its inhabitants were infamous for their standards of immorality. And it appears that the culture of the day was influencing and being brought into that new church by those new Christians that had been planted there, if you like, or brought there by the Apostle Paul. Perhaps it's unsurprising because many of these new Christians had converted from those pagan cults. And as Paul had said in a previous letter, most had little education or no social standing. Because Jesus was out of sight, it seems that for some of these Christians, Jesus also slipped out of mind. And they reverted back into their old habits. They accepted the standards of the culture that they found around them. And they relied on the things that they could feel, that they could touch in order to live their own lives by. And so it is that Paul is compelled to write and to visit Corinth on a number of occasions to bring them to task. He wants to remind these new Christians that as followers of Christ, they're worth so much more than this. God loves them individually and unconditionally. That they have been set free. We've sung about that this morning. They've been set free from having to live by the standards of the world, by chasing after what's important to the world. That they can find their security and identity and self-worth in a relationship with Jesus. He wants to bring about his plans and his purposes through him, through us, through fellow believers, through his church. Plans and purposes that will show his grace and bless us and bring him glory. You know, it's true that maybe these followers hadn't seen Jesus face to face. So like all believers, they were living in the realm of faith, trusting in the Lord whom they hadn't seen. But one day, says Paul, you will live in the realm of sight. You'll see Jesus face to face. But until that time, we're to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. And make it our goal to please him. For one day, each one of us will appear before him and his judgment seat. Now, the thing is, I'm not suggesting for a moment that we're anything like those Christians at Corinth. But what God's laid on my heart is that I believe there's a real challenge for us in these verses Because there can be a danger that we too can sometimes convince ourselves that just because we have a faith, that we also live by it. When the fact is that in our own unique ways, we can also get easily distracted and sidetracked, complacent from having all of the material things that we have around us, the things that we chase after, all of those services that are immediately available to us, rather than fixing our eyes on the unseen, trusting in Jesus to faithfully accomplish all that he has promised to do in us and through us. Yes, we have a faith in Jesus. Faith that he is the Son of God. Faith that he loves us and accepts us as we are. Faith that through his death, we have a way for a restored relationship with him. Faith that through his resurrection, we have an eternal hope. And I thank God for all of those things. But that's having faith. And Paul says that that is very different to actually living out the faith that we have. You see, living by faith requires action. Faith is a muscle that needs to be exercised in order to grow and develop. And that requires tremendous courage and a willingness to let Jesus come in not only to our lives, but into every single aspect of our lives, that we turn over those things that we hold on so preciously to, that we give it over to him, that we spend quality time, therefore, in his presence, that he is the priority and not the other things that would distract us, that we come into his presence through reading his word, in prayer and in worship, gathering together as God's family. And as we listen, we are then obedient when he calls us to serve whenever or wherever that is. But of course, in doing so, it also brings a tremendous blessing and reward as we experience God in all of his fullness and grace. You know, living by faith and not sight may lead us into places we don't know about yet. But God will reveal it to us as we walk in obedience. I mean, just look at the story of Abraham in Genesis 12. God said, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you." That's a step of faith. Living by faith and not sight may lead us to cling on to the dreams and hopes that God had set within our hearts, that God has spoken to us and yet hasn't fulfilled. Living by faith and not sight may require us to walk with strong determination to follow God's plan, regardless of what life throws our way. You know, those challenges, those things that completely pull the bottom out of our world. Living by faith means that we hold on to those plans that God has for our lives. And almost certainly, living by faith will call us to stand up for the hurting, those who are broken and downhearted, and to put the needs of others ahead of ourselves. You see, it was James who said, "Faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead." Faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Living by faith asks so much more of us than just simply having a faith. You know, many of us, I think all of us now, will know that yesterday marked something of a closing of one chapter in my life. But it was also the beginning of a new chapter, not only for me in my walk with Jesus, but also, I believe, in the life of this fellowship here in RBC. Because I truly believe that through the promises that were made on both sides, God was calling each of us to be people of faith, both individually and collectively, to live by faith and not by sight. Trusting in him, even though we don't see him face to face yet, that he will still do all that he said that he would do. He will do the amazing, the miraculous. He will see the fulfillment of the vision that he placed before us. You know, there are going to be new opportunities, new experiences, new blessings, I'm sure, to be had for those who are prepared to launch out into this new season, into God's purposes, and to live by faith. But the question is, will we? Don't misunderstand my words. Paul wasn't urging the church in Corinth to somehow take a blind leap into the unknown, to head off rashly into something, as though God would somehow bend his will towards them. Paul is simply reminding the church that their faith, like ours, is rooted in truth, in God's promises and his faithfulness, so that we can have confidence as we prayerfully seek and trust God that he will guide our leaps and our steps, even when it is that we don't see or we're not clear about what that final destination truly looks like. You know, I'm sure that for each of us, whatever season of life that you're in, it will look different for us living out our faith. Perhaps for some of you, you are being called to make the biggest step of faith in your life by placing your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior and praying that he will come into your life this very day. The slate wiped clean, becoming a new creation, joining a new family, having an eternal inheritance that will never spoil, perish, or fade. For others of us, we're entering a new season perhaps, a new season of schools, of colleges, of universities. Perhaps we have new challenges at work, troubles, difficulties, relational issues within our families, and life in general has those things, those headwinds that just seem to buffet us and shake us up. We have lots of pressures coming in, worries, anxieties. And the challenge to live by faith is going to be to hold on to Jesus. Hold on to his promise to us. Hold on to his goodness and his faithfulness, even though these things are going to try and pull us away from that. It may be that God is even challenging you into new ministries, into new activities of service for him for the first time, or perhaps again after a long time away. As a church, God placed a vision on our hearts, didn't he, a number of years ago. We can see the vision on these posters around the church itself. This vision has yet to be fully fulfilled. And I know that I have a role to play in that. But his vision was for all of us as his worshiping community to get involved, to be part of it, to play our own part of it, no matter how small we might think that is in our own eyes. Because it's a vision that will see new believers coming into a saving relationship with Jesus, both here and around our community. There couldn't be anything more important. There couldn't be anything more important. What a motivation, says Paul. Our goal is to please God, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. Surely we want to be useful to God, don't we? Surely we must be excited that he wants to use us to be ambassadors for him. Don't we all want to know his presence and his power in our lives, having a closeness of relationship, perhaps regaining that closeness that we once had, but for a long time has seemed so distant? God has great plans for your life and for this church that will help bring about his kingdom. And you know what? It's not reliant on your circumstances. It's not reliant on your age. It's not reliant on your health. As Paul says, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day through the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. We don't do this on our own. We don't have to do this on our own. God has gifted us, the Holy Spirit, to live within us, to empower us, to help us take that leap of faith and to live by faith. Yet it's clear that we won't experience this in all of its fullness if we choose to be fearful. If we need to have all of the answers before we feel confident in taking a step forward for Jesus. Because that way isn't about fixing our eyes, which is on that which is unseen, on Jesus who is eternal. But rather we're just focusing on what's seen. All of the problems, all of the issues, all of the obstacles in front of us. But they're just temporary. And just like those impalas that I mentioned at the beginning of my talk, who don't dare to jump if they can't see where they're landing, we too will be doing the same thing and missing out on the blessing that God wants to give each and every one of us. You know, one of the joys for me of yesterday, I was thinking about my journey into ministry, was that I reflected upon how God had his hand upon each of the stages that I went through to get to where I needed to be. You know, quite often it wasn't so evident when I was there, in the midst of it. But when I look back, I can see God's hand being upon that. And I'm sure that for us today, those who are followers of Jesus, if we took the time to look and to see how God has led and guided us, that too should bring encouragement to us that we can do it, that we can live by faith, that we can trust that he will equip those that he calls into whatever form of service it is for him. You know, James Hudson Taylor was a Christian missionary in inland China. And one of the books that I've been reading is a biography of his life. An amazing man of faith. You may well have heard of him. He was this, as I say, this Christian ministry to China in the 19th century. He spent over 51 years in China. He learnt Mandarin and many other of the Chinese dialects. He lost his wife and his young child to illness while he was serving out there, and yet he carried on. He established a missionary society that brought in over 800 missionaries to go and bring the gospel to these people. He set up well over 100 schools there in China, and he said this about his service: unless there is an element of risk in our exploits for God, then there's no need for faith. Unless there is an element of risk in our exploits for God, there is no faith. That's quite pointed, isn't it? That's putting it on the line, I think. And I no doubt that most of us will never, ever be called to being pioneer missionaries in some far-flung place around the world. But if we're honest with ourselves, and we wanted to ask this question, when was the last time you truly took a risk for Jesus, in living for Jesus? You know, for some, it's almost certainly recently. As you go through things, I mean, it's amazing that the testimonies that Ricky shared and the stories he talked about Soul Survivor actually gel so firmly with this, because these people are on a journey. They're moving, they're living in faith, and God is doing amazing things. And maybe that's your experience, that you've gone through things and that you are living for Christ, that you are living in your faith. But perhaps, maybe, for some of us this morning, it's been some time since we've taken a risk for God. It's been some time since we've really lived for Christ. You know, one glorious day, we won't have to live by faith because we will live by sight. And that will be okay because we will be in the very presence of Jesus. But until that day comes, says Paul, God who made each one of us individually and uniquely in him, in his image, has a very special purpose for us. And he's given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. God has squeezed himself into us through the power of his Spirit to live in faith and not just have faith. So yes, we are a people of faith, but as Paul reminds us, let's be bold. Let's live by faith and not sight, because when we live by sight, we miss out on all of those good things that God wants to do in us and through us. And actually, our lives tend to go a little bit off the rails as well. Instead, by living by faith, we can be confident that God will do all that he has promised to do. And also in doing so, we will have grown in our faith, in our knowledge and our closeness to Jesus. Living by faith means that we would have moved and taken those small steps and have grown into Impala leaps that God wants for us as his people here. Amen. Let me just pray as you allow those words just to just speak to you by the power of God's Spirit. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us and care for us. We thank you that each one is precious in your sight, that you want a relationship with your creation, with everybody, both in here but outside, in our community, in our country, and in the world. Thank you that you made a way possible for that, and by faith, we can receive the life that you want to give us. But Lord, help us to be people who are bold. Help us to be people who will fix our eyes on you. Although you are unseen, we are not alone, because we know that we have the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit living in us today. And so I pray that you would come and fill us afresh, that you would fill us to overflowing, that we would be empowered, equipped, emboldened, excited to take that step of faith, to live by faith, wherever that is, because we know that in doing so, you will help bring about your kingdom and that others will come to know you as well. Lord, our heart's desire is to glorify you. You don't say these words to use as a big stick to force us into something. But Lord, you simply say that your blessing is far greater than those things that we can see around us and those things that we can touch and feel, because you love us, and that you give us our identity, our self-worth, that you make us princes and princesses of your royal household. You adopt us into your family. Lord, remind us of that. Help us to be bold. Help us not to be like the impala, who, if they can't see where they're going to jump, just remains rooted to the spot, not growing at all. Help us to be people of strong faith, that as we leave this place, we would commit to standing for you and to trusting in you for every step of our journey. And Lord, in doing so, may your name be glorified. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing again as part of a response, maybe. And the song is Oceans, and the lyrics are really, I think, poignant for these words that we've just shared this morning. He calls us out upon the waters where we need to trust in him. And so let's stand to sing if you're willing and able, and let's think about the words that we sing. Maybe you want to use this as an affirmation that actually in this new season, that after this summer period, that actually we're going to walk and we're going to live by faith and not just have faith for his glory. As we draw our service to a close, pray that would be our prayer, that would be our story, that would be our reality as well. Lead us out upon the waters where my faith is without borders. Lord, you have so much in store for us, so much that you want to bless us with, so many amazing things that you want to grace our lives through. Lord, would you fill us up and send us out to be your people, to bring your kingdom to wherever it is that you call us. So therefore, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. Amen. Brilliant.